The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, y'all, after last night's blowout loss, the Cowboys are now 2-4, yet they are still in first place. Unbelievable, Jeff Saturday. I know I can get a smile out of you off that. I saw you serving pancakes this morning on Get Up. You were entertaining me as we were writing the show, getting set. That segment's a lot of fun. Good to see you, sir. But you guys know who I'm starting with, this man.
Thanks for having me.
Of course, Stephen A. Do you think the Cowboys made a mistake hiring Mike McCarthy?
You know something, I gotta tell you.
Oh, it's Southern Steve, sorry.
You know, I really, really don't know the answer to this question. I mean, I really, really don't know. I would tell you that it appears to be an emphatic yes. I mean, after all, when your offense, you know, Mike McCarthy himself has said he prioritizes holding on to the football. Didn't he say that, Max? I think he said that. But it's not stopping Ezekiel Elliott from fumbling the football. Mike McCarthy says that, you know what, he no longer wants to be perceived as some archaic dude that's beyond his prime and stuff like that. I mean, I'm just wondering about what I'm seeing from these Cowboys. On the defensive side of the ball, he's got a defensive coordinator, Mike Nolan. There's a guy that was in Atlanta last time we saw him as a defensive coordinator, Jeff Saturday, and was in the ATL in 2014. That man had the 31st-ranked defense in the National Football League. That's second to last, okay? So bad, in fact, that nobody, and I do mean nobody, thought about making this dude the defensive coordinator for the last 6 years until Mike McCarthy comes out of being fired, gets a new job, and you would think that this man has learned the error of his ways and would have new, fresh blood infused into these Dallas Cowboys. And what does he do? He hires this man as his defensive coordinator. So the secondary stinks. The pass rush is suspect. The linebacker coach. I mean, my brother Jalen Smith looked pretty bad out there getting exposed constantly. I think it's schematic more so than him. Leighton Van Der Esch came back. We was expecting some things from him. That didn't work out. In the end, when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, here's what it comes down to. They stink! Period. Now, somehow, some way, we got to hope that they get it together. Me, personally, I wouldn't mind seeing them elevate a little bit just so they could plummet a little bit deeper. That's just my personal opinion. But in the end, what it comes down to is that these brothers, right now, they're not a team. They're just a bunch of parts trying to mix and match their way to victory in the worst division in NFL history that is the 2020 version of the NFC East. It is what it is. It's sad. And I think some of that is on Mike McCarthy primarily because of that defensive coordinator he hired.
Well, let me tell you a little story before I'll start by saying this. The Dallas Cowboys started with the offensive line. A lot of people talk about the O-line. They put their money where their mouth was in draft picks. Draft after draft after draft, their first-round pick went to an offensive line, so they had the best offensive line in the game. That made their running backs all look better than they actually were. That includes Ezekiel Elliott. He's a great back, but he looked even better than he was behind that offensive line, like Emmitt Smith once upon a time, when he looked better than Barry Sanders at times, but Sanders was really the best. And that includes the quarterback and everything. Okay, the offensive line's not there anymore. They're all gone. It's not the same offensive line. Forget that kind of Cowboys team, right? So Ezekiel Elliott's not as good. Dak Prescott's not even there. And the defense is no good, and we already knew that. That's who the Dallas Cowboys really are. That's what Mike McCarthy's dealing with. But I want to tell you a little story about an owner named Jerry Jones, who, look, Jimmy Johnson was his coach. Jimmy Johnson took a one-win team and in a couple of years coached them up to a Super Bowl team and won a couple Super Bowls, but got a little too much credit for Jerry Jones, who gets rid of him because that guy's getting too much credit. Barry Switzer comes in and with Jimmy Johnson's team wins one more. But that was kind of a disappointing end to that what looked like a dynasty for years. Still three Super Bowls, pretty good, right? Jerry Jones wanted to do it his way. He even brought in Parcells at one point. Oh, that guy gets too much credit, too big an ego, too big a name. Get rid of him. So what has he looked for since then? Head coaches that wouldn't take the shine off of Jerry, wouldn't take the attention away. It's more important for Jerry Jones to soothe his own ego and to put the spotlight on himself than it is to win a Super Bowl. Otherwise, why would he hire those kind of coaches? Now, Jason Garrett was his guy, right? His guy. Wasn't good enough. So what does he do? He has to look around for a guy with pedigree so people can't say, oh, it's another Jason Garrett hire, right? We can all agree with this, but a guy he can control. A guy, if they have success and they win a Super Bowl, Jerry gets the credit. Mike McCarthy, the league changed. He's a Super Bowl coach once upon a time. The league changed. He didn't change with the league. So he was out of a job. No one was banging down his door. He wasn't some hot coaching name. The Cowboys hire him because it's just what I said it was. And after the fact say, well, Mike McCarthy did some soul searching. He's really into analytics now. He gets it. Mike McCarthy's not there because they think he's the best coach for the job. If the job is winning a Super Bowl, he's there because he's the best coach with a name who can appease the fan base, make it look like they have a real coach, and won't take the shine off of Jerry and will be dictated to by Jerry Jones. So this is what you get. I thought when they hired Mike McCarthy that was the case. I still think it today.
As much as I appreciate the the vigor which you're talking about, I do believe Jerry Jones wants to win a Super Bowl. So, you know, whatever coach he decides is the best coach, I don't think Jerry wants to tank, you know, just so it can be his team. I mean, I understand back in the day with Jimmy Johnson and the switch to Switzer, I get all those things. But now I do think Jerry wants to win.
Of course he wants to win,
Jeff. He touched on some really good points.
He just doesn't want to win bad enough to make the best hire.
Well, here's your issue. I think Jerry understands and knows his team. Both of you touched on some good points. His teams aren't good enough to win right now. You talked about the offensive line where they put all these assets, right? They had all these guys, right? Smith's gone. Collins has gone to injury. Frederick retires, right? Those are three pillars. Martin, I know he went down yesterday, but you know, he was really their only kind of claim to fame of that vaunted offensive line. So it's been difficult and different in that regard. Last night was not some epiphany. Their line has played bad this entire year. This has not been just a one-off last night for Andy Dalton in the way they played. Their star players are not protecting the football, which is a head coaching issue. You heard him take ownership of that being Mike McCarthy, right, and saying, listen, and I played on a Mike McCarthy team, right, and he does start practice with ball security. He has drills where everybody does that for whatever reason, whether it was Dak Prescott or Andy Dalton or Ezekiel Elliott or anybody else, name them, they've all taken turns at dropping the ball, right? So to that issue, they have to get that fixed, and that is McCarthy's responsibility to get that part fixed. The difference for me are head coaches, it's not about X's and O's, it's as much as it is about developing the coaches underneath you, right? Your coordinators have to be guys, right? They have to be the smartest in the building. You have to get the guys who, you know, not only are going to motivate your team, but they are detailed X's and O's guys. The head coach really doesn't have to be that. He has so many different things going on. He doesn't have to be the most up-to-date on what's going on in the league in these different areas. That's really not their responsibility. What's happened is with Nolan in this defense is not only is the team performing poorly, players are performing individually. They are playing. So it's not just scheme, right? Like last night, the touchdown to Kirk, that was not – a scheme issue. He is in a good call where the corner should travel, and he's standing flat-footed at 10 yards, and the guy runs right by him, and Murray throws a bomb for a touchdown.
Jeff.
There's not a whole lot you can do different as a coordinator with Mike Nolan to say, hey, I got to put him in a better position. What's
Jeff,
happening is they're getting exposed in scheme, and then the players aren't meeting that, which, again, that is a head coaching issue, right? If effort is an issue, then the head coach has to address that.
No question about it. And in the end, that's what it comes down to. But I got to ask you this question, Jeff. How much of this should we attribute to COVID-19, preseason being canceled, workouts not being – I don't know. I'm trying to be nice, okay? I'm trying to be nice by asking this question because that's giving the Cowboys a
Cowboys land.
How much of what you're seeing, exactly what you described – how much of that is about COVID-19, preseason being canceled, all of this other stuff?
That's a 20% at max, Stephen A., 20% at max. Like, I understand at the finer points of football, you're going to have some of those issues because you haven't had the same amount of reps, right? You haven't been able to rep when that coverage spins to something or a guy surprises you. Last night, there were no surprises. I mean, literally, the first two plays, they're getting rushed. Andy Dalton's running for his life. There's another one where they bring a simple Buda Baker runs through the basic B gap on the front side of a protection, and nobody touches him, and Andy's eyes aren't even to that side. The tight end runs a little hot route. That's 101. That's not, we didn't get enough reps, man. That's, I mean, when you start football and open the book, that's page one. This is what we got to figure out. They ran an inside zone to the weak side with four guys on that side. Well, that means you're one short. Like, these are very simple mistakes that they're making, and they're compounding them with turnovers. But this isn't like next level, you know what I mean? And I think that's where you have to be careful about tempering expectations and making excuses. It's not just the greater, the finer details. These are the basic principles of football where linebackers aren't reading the right gaps. You know, the linemen are out of their spacing. The defensive backs don't know where to fit in. That's not just, hey, we're not getting enough reps. We don't know what we're doing. That is a significant concern. So I would tell you at max 20% you could cast off on just not having that preseason the way that we're used to having it.
Jeff, I always talk about, like, baseball is a general manager's game. Basketball is a player's game. Football is a coach's game to me. Everyone talks about, you, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have anything. To me, it starts before anything else. You've got to find the right coach. And if any other influences are in the owner's head or the GM's head about what kind of coach you want to hire other than the best coach for the job, if there's any other influence, like, well, I don't want a guy who's going to get too much credit. It's too hard to win that way. It's hard enough to win as it is. You're going to give yourself extra little, hurdles to jump over before you can. It's too much other considerations. And my contention is Jerry Jones does not make the best hire because of his ego. He got rid of Jimmy Johnson because of it, didn't stick with Bill Parcells because of it, doesn't make the best hire because of his ego, and that's who Mike McCarthy is. To that you say what?
Yeah, I think Mike McCarthy has proven he can win. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. You know, I don't know who all he interviewed to at what degree they were making the decision, but at this point, it's more about distribution of coaching ability and what he's hired that I would fault him on more than on the field at this point. It's a small sample size, right? We're talking, you know, 5-6 games, so we don't really know yet, but to this point, he has not checked the boxes that you're saying he needed to check.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Derrick Henry is the real deal. I learned that when he went to Foxborough and ran all over the Patriots last season. Jeff Saturday still here with us. I think he had a 94-yard run on Sunday, guys, and then obviously he had the score in OT as well. So, Max, do you think quarterbacks should be worried about Derrick Henry actually stealing the MVP, even though it normally goes to the signal callers?
Not at all. Not at all. Russell Wilson would have to take a nosedive for him to worry about Derrick Henry, and I love me some Derrick Henry. But in this century, which is already 20 years old, there have only been three non-quarterbacks to win the MVP. Now, they've all been running backs, but one of them was LaDainian Tomlinson. The other was Marshall Faulk, right? Both dynamic, multi-purpose kind of backs, right? They could catch passes. They could do all kinds of stuff. The only kind of power running back to win in this century was Sean Alexander, which people already forget. And his team made it to the Super Bowl, and he rushed for almost 2,000 yards. And guess how many touchdowns he scored that year, Molly?
How many?
The answer is 27. So, like, you have to do such absurd things as a running back, especially as this kind of running back, to win the MVP, you know, over guys like Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. And by the way, the list goes on. There are other quarterbacks who pop their heads up, like Lamar Jackson hasn't looked good recently, but he looked pretty good last year and for parts of this year, didn't he? And newcomers like Josh Allen, if they get on track, or even his own teammate, Ryan Tannehill, who's played at the kind of outskirts of an MVP kind of level. I see very little chance that Derrick Henry, who is awesome, it's such so great to see a throwback kind of running back, winning the MVP.
Well, let me tell you why I disagree with you, because the points that you made, while valid, it's not impossible that Russell Wilson could nosedive, that Aaron Rodgers could have more games like the ones he just had on Sunday, that Lamar Jackson could ultimately have the game like he had against Kansas City. If those things were to happen, and Derrick Henry did more of what we saw Sunday, then what are we saying? Now, the likelihood of that happening is slim to none. I get that. But we can't definitively rule it out with this guy. This guy right here, he's had 116-yard rushing game, 119-yard rushing game. He had this 212 rushing game. The other two games of the season, he didn't rush for over 100 yards. Tennessee Titans are 5-0. And obviously, this success is predicated on their running game and the exceptional coaching job of Mike Vrabel and how tough-minded these dudes are. And they seem to know, I need to give the ball to Derrick Henry, because even though Ryan Tannehill throws the ball about 34 times a game, Derrick Henry runs the football 24.6 times per game. He gets his opportunities. And when he gets his opportunities, we can't rule out what this brother's capable of doing. I will remind you in the postseason.
Guys.
I will remind you in the postseason last year, before he went to the AFC Championship game and got ran-rotted by Patrick Mahomes in that offensive explosion of the Kansas City Chiefs, he rushed for 182 yards in the game. You know, in the first divisional playoff game, I think that was against Baltimore. Mm. Then the second game, he rushed for 195 yards.
Oh, oh.
I'm sorry. If I'm looking at this brother do it in the postseason, how am I going to rule out the possibility of him doing it in the regular season? I'm not predicting that it will happen. I'm not predicting that he will win it. What I'm saying is, when we talk about should quarterbacks worry about Derrick Henry stealing the show if there was a running back to be worried about stealing the show at this particular moment in time,
it's him.
It would happen to be that brother from Alabama that is now in the National Football League playing for the Tennessee Titans, named Derrick Henry.
Bad dude.
You know, my favorite part of this whole thing is that we're even having this conversation, which gives me hope, Max. It gives me hope that absolutely not isn't the truth, right? Because at the end of the day, as we're looking at all the quarterbacks you mentioned, right? You talk about guys taking a – as Patrick Mahomes performed like an MVP every week, like – so let's have real conversations. We give a ton of credit to quarterbacks in winning and losing. I'll be fair. We give them way too much credit when they win, and we give them way too much credit when they lose. And the truth of it all, in the mix of all this – players like Derrick Henry and Aaron Donald get pushed to the side because all the conversation becomes a highlight conversation. And they can't make as many highlights as quarterbacks can. We saw a special one with the 94-yard run, which, by the way, was faster than Lamar Jackson's touchdown run, which just blows my mind because he's like 40 pounds heavier. He's a defensive tackle running 94 yards, and no one could catch him, including cornerbacks, who are the fastest people on the planet. So when you're talking about what kind of exceptional athlete he is, it's unbelievable to me. But I do believe that when you begin to see how games are being won right now, especially the way the Titans are winning it, there's nothing pretty about these victories, right? They win ugly as well as anybody in the NFL. But it's because of Derrick Henry that Tannehill looks like he does. And Tannehill's played fantastic. He could honestly be in that same MVP conversation, because when plays need to be made, that touchdown to tie the game was an incredible throw by him, right? Time's running out, 7 seconds, whatever it was, and he makes that throw that's a dime. Those things happen because of all the stability that Derrick Henry provides. And I will hope, as people who are getting these votes, Stop neglecting the Aaron Donalds and the Derrick Henrys of the NFL, because the truth is it's those guys who are keeping all the quarterbacks' names in our mouth. Yeah, that's the truth of it, right? Because you're getting more opportunities to see highlights. But everything now in the NFL is based on highlight. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs run the ball 46 times. We're still going to talk about Patrick Mahomes. They ran it 46 times, and we'll still talk about how patient Mahomes was in their game plan to run the ball that much, right? Like, that's the reality of what we do is that we emphasize the quarterback position. I'm letting you know, Derrick Henry, full-grown man, should definitely be in the conversation of that MVP. Because not only what he does for his team, but in the league, it's special.
Before you go, Max, last 4 weeks, last 4 weeks, Tennessee, 33, 31, 42, and 42.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tannehill's also been excellent. Woo. It's not just because of Derrick Henry. Tannehill's excellent. Look, I think you guys are making a good point. There might be a sentimental vote for a power back, and I missed Adrian Peterson somehow. Adrian Peterson was a power back who, by the way, I think it was 2012, rushed for almost 2,100 yards. My point is, Peterson and Sean Alexander did put up eye-popping numbers as power backs to get those MVPs, and it was still in an era where, like, we're really in an era now where Christian McCaffrey, who's hurt right now, so we're really focused on Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, those kind of backs are what people are looking for. Even harder for a power back, I think, to be thought of as the best. That said, maybe that creates some backlash. Like, people are like, remember the good old days? That's what a running back looked like. And I'd be really happy for Derrick Henry, and it would be awesome if he did win. I don't see it. Look at what Russell Wilson's doing. Quarterbacks like that are going to get so much more consideration than a one-dimensional running back, as great as that dimension is.
Let me say this real quickly, because you committed blasphemy, Max Kellerman. You don't even realize it. I got to give love to a brother named Lamont Smith. He's a NFL super agent.
Yeah.
One of his clients also won league MVP. It would happen to be Barry Sanders. 19.
Yeah, I said since 2000.
Yeah. Because he was like, you know, you ain't mentioned Barry Sanders.
I said since 2000.
Got you.
In this century.
12 of 13 have been quarterbacks. 2012 was Adrian Peterson. That was the last running back we had.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
All right, a week after being benched in a blowout loss to the Dolphins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Stephen A's fave, bounced back, throwing three pass TDs in the first half on the way to a win over the Rams on Sunday Night Football. Mr. Smith, I'm looking at you. How much did Jimmy G prove?
Not a damn thing. Really. I mean, listen, first of all, let's stop acting like Jimmy G is some victim here. I have
something against him. I happen to like porn star Jimmy. I really like him a lot. I mean, it's not an insult. I like
You're resurrecting the name now?
I'm not resurrecting it, but I'm just saying is I think people assume that I dislike him, you understand, because I called him porn star Jimmy. Clearly, he wanted to be called they all out in public. I mean, what do you want me to do? All I'm trying to say is that it's no big deal.
That was
I like
a point. He was photographed as soon as he got to town.
Chilling. I mean, right in the heart of L.A. Come on.
Give it to him.
It wasn't like he was hiding in Santa Clara or something. He was in the heart of L.A. For that to stop it. But all I'm saying is I ain't knocking the brother. More power to you. Having said all of that, Jimmy G is 2-2 this year in the games that he's played. He's completing 63% of his passes, 7 touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. He looked horrid after a couple of games he missed when he came back. And then this past week he resurrected himself against the Rams. Okay, I'll give him credit where credit is due. 23 of 33. 268 yards. I mean, stop the presses. Are you ready? Hey, Jeff Saturday, I apologize, man, because this is a big deal. Just stop the presses. Did you see the box office performance that Jimmy G has put forth since this season began? After stinking up the joint in the fourth quarter Super Bowl with Kyle Shanahan scared to have him throw the football, this season he comes back. 259 yards passing. 131 yards passing, 77 yards passing, and 268. I mean, my God. I mean, should I induct him into the Hall of Fame now? Should I? He can play, y'all. He's not a scrub. I didn't say he doesn't deserve his money or anything. But as I've said repeatedly, and Jeff Saturday, you might not have known this.
Saturday's not with us. You're all excited about Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy.
Jeff's not here?
No.
Jeff's not here.
He's in the next block.
I didn't know.
You were all worked up.
I'm sorry. Max!
I'm sure he could fire up
Max,
the camera.
Yeah. Here's the deal. As I've said on many, many occasions, y'all, look. He's okay. You know, 23-7 as a starter, that's better than okay. I get it. But you go to several layers before you even think about Jimmy G. He had a decent game after a horrid game the week before. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the NFL. Let's see what you do now that Bruckner and Bosa and those boys ain't there suffocating opposing quarterbacks and completely stymieing defenses. Let's see if the San Francisco 49ers offense can take it to another level. You do have one of the best tight ends in football in Kittle, by the way, mm-hmm. and Deebo Samuels is back, mm-hmm. too. I mean, you should be able to do something. I'm just saying.
Jimmy G has shown, again, who he is. He's a smart, competent quarterback who does not have the talent to be elite.
Okay.
But the same way Tom Brady gets credit for 170 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions at this point in his career, being a smart game manager, gets rid of the ball quick and be big on third down, that's what Jimmy G is.
Really?
That's why Bill Belichick decided to move on from Tom Brady.
I mean, that's some haterism.
The reason he decided to move on from Tom Brady
is not
that
over at
Jimmy
you.
G is better than Tom Brady. It's that at this point in his career, Belichick looked at Brady and what he could do, looked at Garoppolo and what he could do. He said, it's about the same, only this guy's really young, and I could have him forever and have a smooth transition. That's why I wanted to move on. That's why Shanahan looked at Jimmy G and said, yeah, I want this guy. Remember what happened.
Wouldn't have anything to do with that. All you need to give up was a second-round pick.
That couldn't win the Niners picked up Jimmy G, and suddenly they went undefeated. They couldn't lose. They won like 5 straight games. Then he got hurt, and what did they do? They lost every game the following season.
It's like
and
that, then he came back. What's happening with Dak Prescott
They
right
were
now.
4-12 without him. And then he came back, and they won almost every game. 13-3. Exactly reversed their fortune.
When he came back.
And then.
Did they win that game when he threw for 77 yards?
And then, I'm talking about the last several seasons.
Okay.
And then he took his team to the Super Bowl. Took them. Oh, he rode the team to the Super Bowl. When Tom Brady rides a defense and a running game to the Super Bowl, as he did against the Rams, it's Tom Brady won the Super Bowl. When Jimmy G has a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, and it takes Patrick Mahomes dropping 15 steps and throwing a 60-yard bomb to beat him, now all of a sudden Jimmy G is no good. Look, he ain't going to be Tom Brady in Brady's prime. I get it. But Tom Brady now? A guy who gets credit now, yeah, he could be something.
Well,
like
a guy that gets credit now is 43 years old with six championships and nine Super Bowl appearances.
Stephen A.
You gonna do that to him?
Jimmy G, it's one thing to say you have a 23-7 regular season record, 25-8 record overall as a quarterback for teams that would win anyway without you. But what we have seen is that the team can't win at all without him, but is elite with him. He fits in. He does what the coach needs him to do. And who are these coaches? Belichick and Shanahan.
They were
what
elite
did he do?
With him last year. They were elite with him last year.
Yes, and they almost won the Super Bowl.
They were elite with him last year. That's it. One year. There's plenty of teams that were.
Matt Ryan
was in the Super Bowl three, 4 years ago.
So let me ask you this.
If he doesn't, you got T.I. coming on national television wanting him to have a one-way ticket out of the ATL.
If he doesn't overthrow Emmanuel Sanders, one play, he wins the Super Bowl, you're not saying this. One throw. Now, I agree, given his level, he needs to make that throw. But he came back yesterday. He had a bum ankle
him
a week ago.
The same breath as Tom Brady. You allowed it.
He came back yesterday.
Okay.
By the way, on that bum ankle, I don't even count that against him. The team is 1-1 without him this year. Really 1-2 because that wasn't him last week. He came back yesterday, threw three touchdowns, no interceptions, had a 124 quarterback rating in the first half of the game, and they won. You want to criticize him now?
I'm not criticizing him. That's the damn point. I'm saying he ain't all world, which is what you just said.
I didn't say he's all world.
Exactly, which is what you just said.
He's a good quarterback.
I didn't say he was a scrub.
Is he a good quarterback?
I didn't say he was a scrub. I didn't say he didn't deserve his money. What I said was that everybody walking around Jimmy G like he's some superstar. No, he is not. No. He's good. He's talented. He's 28 years old. He'll develop. He'll get better. But to sit up there and use Tom Brady as an excuse. Oh, well, if Tom Brady throws for 166 yards or 177 yards, we want to make a big deal out of it. But we want to make a big deal out of it because he's got a resume that spans 19 years that shows what the hell he does in big moments as opposed to giving up 10-point leads in the fourth quarter.
No one listens to Max when he talks about Tom Brady. I can't even believe you are.
Jimmy G's not Tom Brady in his prime, but is he Tom Brady roughly now? Yeah, more or less. That's why Belichick wanted to move on from him. That's why Shanahan has him. That's why he wins all the time. And when you talk about resume, Jimmy G has a young career. He's 23-7 in the regular season. He's 2-1 in the playoffs with a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl.
Man,
if he had to throw the football,
we don't even know if he's Kirk Cousins. If he had to throw the football, he wouldn't have to throw the football last year in the postseason.
No disrespect.
He had rolled. Did you see San Francisco in the postseason? Those two playoff games?
We were there.
Remember, I said the prior playoff game.
Oh, sorry.
Belichick wasn't looking for Kirk Cousins, right? He wasn't moving on from Tom Brady for Kirk Cousins. He wasn't moving on from Tom Brady, Belichick, for Kirk Cousins.
No.
Right. Like Shanahan, they didn't draft someone. Maybe they should have. Okay. But they identify this guy because Belichick and Shanahan know we can win with this guy because that's normally what he does. He wins three times as much as he loses in the NFL.
How'd Tom Brady do against that bad man? Oh, yeah, I think you guys remember. All right, so we were lauding Alabama earlier, Derrick Henry. I've got some news on another former Alabama guy. That would be Tua Tagovailoa. According to Adam Schefter and ESPN here, he will be starting for the Miami Dolphins. Tua is officially now the starter. Of course, this is the bye their week. Their bye week, they will play November 1st against the Rams. I think we're working on getting Jeff Saturday back. Jeff, you here with us? Okay, Jeff, sorry you had to listen to all this blasphemy, to use Stephen A's word, on Jimmy G earlier, but I want to focus here on Tua. What do you think of the news that they've named him officially the starter for the Dolphins?
Honestly, I'm surprised, Molly. I understand, you know, he came in, threw a couple passes and the whole deal last week, but I thought with Fitzpatrick and the way this team was moving to 3-3, they're improving each and every. I think their offensive line is playing much better. I thought it would be a few more weeks, honestly. I thought they would continue to kind of ride the Fitzmagic portion of Fitzpatrick for a while. So I am a bit surprised. And I know, no one's under the assumption that he wasn't going to play this year or wasn't going to come in. I'm just a little surprised that coming off of the momentum this team has built over the past few weeks that they decide to make the change this early.
Well, they won two of their last three. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for over 300 yards in both games. And then last week it was against the Jets. It wasn't necessary because he was playing against one of the most pathetic franchises of the modern day era in the New York Jets.
That's true.
Having said all of that, we have to say this. If they've made this move with Tua, it has to be because he has shown them enough in practice where they have said it's time, because the way they're flowing right now in winning two of their last three, it stands to reason that, you know what, why would you make this change, particularly with an experienced quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick? Why wouldn't you buy them more time? But they're saying, hell, we want to go with it now. So Tua must be showing something. Let's see what he's got.
Jeff, I agree with you. It's a little odd, but I'll say this. Maybe it's smart. Let me play devil's advocate and explain why it might be smart. Fitzpatrick is the kind of quarterback who's good enough to be a little dangerous to a franchise. He is not a franchise quarterback, but he's shown he can be a more or less competent starter, although for a Harvard guy, he sure makes some questionable decisions at times with the ball and is not very careful with it. let's be honest. But a guy who's good enough to be dangerous to a franchise, and you've gotten enough out of him that you're still treading water in a not very – well, it remains to be seen how strong the division is this year. The Bills are pretty good, and you always expect the Patriots to be pretty good. But no runaway steam train in the division, right? And you've kept your head above water. Sticking with Fitzpatrick is not the formula for a team that's looking to do something. And if you have a quarterback who's physically ready and he's showing you in practice and he's special, what we see is the real development year for a quarterback is year two, right? And they're on that rookie deal. That's when you can make hay because you don't have to pay the quarterback a lot of money. If Tua can physically take it and he's ready, you let him develop the rest of this year, see what happens with the team instead of just giving Fitzpatrick the ball and squinting and hoping he's a franchise quarterback, which he's not, and setting yourself up for the future. I get it.
Yeah, you know, the one thing is pretty interesting. You talked about this a bye week, and I get that, so they'll have some time to prepare. But coming in for the Rams, his opening week, to your point about the health of the player, obviously, you know, putting him in last week for a couple snaps, you know, they felt good. Having him as the number two quarterback told you they felt comfortable with him because you're one play away from being the guy. But coming in against the Rams, I think that's also sending a message, right? I mean, you're talking about one of the best defensive fronts as far as getting after the quarterback and pressuring the quarterback without having to bring extra pressure to get home Aaron Donald, who I've said for the last 4 years, MVP. If he's not the MVP, he's one of the top two or three players in our game, and he continues to show that. But he'll get pressured. He's going to get hit. The Rams are going to lay hat on him. So it'll be a baptism by fire, I think, his first week. But, you make a great point, Max. I didn't think about it from that perspective. If Fitzpatrick kept playing well, it does kind of give you hesitation of when you make the move. Again, I thought it would probably be after the midpoint of the season, week 8, 9, kind of let him build in, get some more of the type of games that he just had where you're going in 10, 12 snaps, you know, 5 or 6 throws, and then kind of build on that, maybe come in at halftime. But they obviously feel like this is the move.
I think also, you know what, like, again, Fitzpatrick is the kind of guy, obviously knew it was to his team, obviously capable of coming off the bench and producing. Yeah. But also, I think this is about Justin Herbert, too, because the way that he's been playing and the kind of potential that he has shown, I think the Miami Dolphins are sort of fantasizing about what if, because Tua coming out of college was considered better than him, and look at how good this guy looks. Mm-hmm. Why are we holding him back? Let's see what he's got now, because if he's better than this guy, we might have a superstar on our hands.
Tua's not like people were saying, hey, can Baker Mayfield be like Russell Wilson or Drew Brees or something, right? And we were kind of hoping it. But with Tua, you look at him and you go, that's a Drew Brees kind of guy, maybe. He might be special for real. It's not like wish casting. Yeah. We've seen it.
No question. All right, it all goes down November 1st against the Rams. According to Jeff Saturday, it's a baptism by fire.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, so let's take a look at Stephen A's top 5 teams in the NFL last week. His Steelers were at number 5. So disrespectful, aren't they? 5-0, Stephen A. Then the Titans at number 4, also undefeated. Chiefs at 3. Seahawks at 2, undefeated as well. in that bad man, Aaron Rodgers. How'd he do? The Packers at one. So what changes this week? It's time now for Stephen's A-List.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's Stephen's A-List. Max, you got your pad ready?
I'm ready.
Jeff Saturday, you got your pad ready? Is he still there, Molly? Is he still there?
He's
still there, right?
I'm ready.
Jeff, you get ready. Let me give you my top five. Don't you dare disagree with me. Pay attention, y'all. Let's go to number five on the list. We gonna keep it right where it was last week. The Steelers. Why? Because Big Ben, Chase, this kid Claypool is something special. Of course, Juju Smith-Schuster is there. Even James Conner showed up and had a 100-yard rushing game, and that defense with Minka Fitzpatrick and the crew. T.J. Watt, that's right. Stephon Tuitt and the boys. The Steelers' defense is no joke. They are there. They are undefeated. I still need to see better from Big Ben Roethlisberger, but he's doing his thing a little bit. They're in my top five. Let's go to number four, and let's give it to me. The Ravens, they back in the top five this week. Why? Because I saw Lamar Jackson running roughshod again over the Philadelphia Eagles. That's why they almost blew it. I understand it, but the bottom line is they still won the game. Lamar Jackson was running the football, and when he's running the football, their offense is prolific. I got to keep them in that light right there. I put them back into my top five. Let's go to number three on the list. Who else is it going to be? It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs, the reigning, defending Super Bowl champions. They just finished beating Buffalo. We understand it. But dare I say, they've looked a little bit vulnerable, Max Kellerman. You can get at them a little bit. Their offense has been good, but not prolific like we're accustomed to seeing. I suspect we'll be seeing something different once Le'Veon Bell arrives. But for now, I'm going to leave them at number three. Let's go to number two on the list, the Seahawks. Why? Because Russell Wilson is still there. They are still undefeated. DK Metcalf, the second coming of Megatron, is there. Okay, with Tyler Lockett and a running game. Their defense is still somewhat suspect. I understand that. But when you find a way to win games and Russell Wilson is leading the way, I'm going to leave you right where you are. Let's go to number one. We got rid of the Packers. We're going to replace them with the Titans. They moved up three spots. Why? Because Mike Vrabel, as far as I'm concerned, is my leading candidate for Coach of the Year. Derrick Henry is the stud running back. They got one of the elite running games in football. Some of the teams in the AFC are suspect against the run, and they got a bunch of rough riders all on both sides of the ball because of their coach, and they are undefeated. I'm giving them love right now, this week, based on the way they have looked. I'm going with the Tennessee Titans as the number one team in football for this week.
It's fluid. I'm so confused. I thought he's a Steelers fan.
I am.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, they're undefeated.
I'll say this.
Right?
I'll say this. I know it's fluid and you have to go, but I'm always putting the Chiefs one until someone shows me that I'm wrong. I just believe the Chiefs are the best team in football, and with the money on the line, I'll take them every time. The other thing is you put the Ravens back in there because they started getting on track. The Packers are coming off a bad loss. But, man, they've looked good so far this season. And how often is Aaron Rodgers?
They got slammed.
How often is Aaron Rodgers going to throw two pick sixes, basically, on consecutive plays?
It's fluid. It's fluid.
It's never going to happen.
It's fluid, Max. It's fluid.
Jeff, get in here.
Hey, here's my biggest question. How are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers not on the top five when they just took the bad man and put the beat down on them? Mm. They have a top five defense in run and pass. They brought in an offense that's still trying to find their way, but they're winning. But they don't even make the top five. I would put the Ravens at six, move the Steelers up, and I would keep the Bucs in there. You have to have – I mean, they just beat your number one team on your list from last week. Not just beat them.
I think it's an aberration.
Took them, embarrassed them, really.
I think, how do you not have this?
I'm getting ready to tell you, Jeff.
I think that they got compromised. I think they were in the Florida sunshine. I obviously think that they were a big compromise. There's some things going down in the state of Florida. I don't think they brought their A game. And I'm going to punish them for it. But I'm not going to elevate Tampa Bay quite as yet. They're building the kind of momentum that I want. Yeah. But not yet.
But also they lost to the Saints in week one, and they lost to the Bears in a tough game. Like, they got two losses. They're two quality teams, but they're two losses. The Packers' only loss, and they've beaten the Saints, and they have two divisional wins, is to the Bucs in a weird kind of freaky game, which I would not expect a
freaky
repeat of.
Freaky game. That's how Aaron Rodgers goes two interceptions and basically they get taken to the house. What about the Bears? They're 5-1. You don't give the Bears any love, the Bucs any love. You just pick your favorite.
You're absolutely right. I'm not giving the Bears any love yet. I'm not a believer.
I'm not a believer in the Chicago Bears. I've always believed in their defense, but I'm not a believer in their offense as of yet.
Right. Don't go.
I thought
don't
you were friends with Mike Tomlin. I don't even understand.
Nick Foles got DeFilippo again and a defense. Look out.
5-0, and you have them last on the list. They barely made it.
Are they in the top 5?
Molly.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Hey, Molly. I guarantee you, Tomlin told him, don't put my guys any higher than 5. I don't want to be in there. Stephen A. is taking care of Tomlin. Tomlin don't want them to be on number 1. He's
I have not spoken to him recently.
He doesn't want that. He doesn't want that. He and Stephen A. doesn't want that smoke.
I have not spoken to my brother recently.
Jeffrey, always fun, especially watching you on Get Up this morning as well. We will talk to you soon, sir. Have a great day.
Great being with you. Y'all have a great
one.
Jeff.
All right.
Thank you. Speaking of Tampa sports, also L.A. sports, they're that deal. The World Series begins tonight with Clayton Kershaw getting the start for the Dodgers, facing Tyler Glasnow in the Tampa Bay Rays. Kershaw has a record of struggling in the postseason despite his stellar regular season performances. Max, I know you like some baseball. Which Kershaw shows up tonight?
I don't have confidence. I'm sorry. He has never been, the deeper in the playoffs he goes, the worse he is. I'm hoping he can write this because he should be known as one of the greatest pitchers who ever lived. He should be in the conversation. But given his postseason resume, he simply isn't. This is not a game 7. It's a game 1. So maybe there's a little less pressure, a little more rest. Please, Clayton, do something resembling anything here so I don't have to come back on the air and be like Clayton Kershaw chokes again.
I'm not even thinking about Kershaw. I'm thinking about the Dodgers collectively. You better win this damn World Series. You haven't won since 1988.
Yeah.
Obviously, coronavirus has compromised this season. We get it. You better get it done. You better not lose another World Series.
Well, you know who they had in 88? Hershiser was their ace. In 81,
okay, from
Valenzuela
the diamond to the green, I got to get this in here. Phil Mickelson is teaming up with Charles Barkley in the Match Champions for Charity, a golf competition that will raise money for HBCUs. The dynamic duo will be facing Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. Stephen A. Smith.
Charles Barkley knows he good and damn well he got no business on the golf course with Lefty, along with Peyton Manning, and especially Steph Curry. He knows better. He shouldn't even be there. Stop it.
Charles I could beat Charles might Barkley. Be the world's greatest
I haven't even played yet.
I don't know about that.
I love me some Charles Barkley. He might be like my favorite person in the industry.
He is. I love him to death. Yeah. But he can't play
best.
Golf. He's horrible at golf.
I want to see you out there.
Maybe you will. Give me a year.
Oh, right.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.